Hello and welcome to another installment of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the collector's app. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics with different special guest hosts every single month, or the same ones every single month, depends how you look at it really. So who's joining me on this episode? Well, first up we have one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly. It is Patrick Not Picard Stewart, and guess who's back again for the second time in a row? Yes, it's the General himself, Justin Generals Joe's Bell. Okay then, with PulseCon just around the corner, we thought we would look at some of our most wanted G.I. Joe Classified Deluxe figures, starting with Cobra. Don't worry, we will be doing the G.I. Joe team next month. Throw in another version therapy, and you've got yourselves a brand new episode of... What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Monthly.
Yay, it is. That was not scripted. I did not read that. That was
what a professional. That's top of my head. Amazing.
You can't tell that my eyes going like left and right either, can you? Sorry, guys. I can't even remember. Even though I say the same thing on literally every episode, I can't remember any of it. Good to have you guys back on. It feels like we were only doing this a month ago.
No kidding. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Well, that's why it's called the Full Force Monthly.
That's a good point. That's why. That's why.
I was wondering, you know, I mean, that explains it. Such clarity as always from you, Pat. You really nailed that.
How are we all doing? How are you, Justin?
I'm good. Yeah, it's been a crazy summer. I can't believe it's officially fall. But yeah, no, things are going well. I'm on a classified high at the moment. I've, like, in the past week and a half, I've gotten like half a dozen different classified figures all at once, so it's been pretty cool.
We hate you so much. I'm just kidding.
most of these figures you got like a month or two ago, Chris.
Well, let's not talk about that. Crimson Guard, though, I can't believe you got that already.
Crimson Guard, I got good old Big Bad Toy Store came through on that one. That's that was a nice surprise.
Blue Ninjas are nice as well. Have you got those?
Those showed up late yesterday. I have opened them. I've got them right over. Here's one of them anyway. The other one's out of reach, but
nice.
I did get them, but I haven't quite finished with the picture taking and stuff. I'm probably going to get a review of those up maybe the next week or two. But yeah, they're very cool.
When you say out of reach, I thought you were going to go for it and pull all of your tech equipment off the table. And Pat, buddy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well as well, but yeah, I haven't had too many new G.I. Joes in a little while.
That's a shame.
That's all the two of you are getting those.
Yeah, we're just getting all of them, aren't we? That's what's happening.
That's right.
We're just hoarding
the market. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're talking classified today, and we're talking deluxe classified specifically. Let's, I suppose, get stuck into that then, shall we? Because otherwise we'll be here for 3 hours like last time. Right then, people, we are talking G.I. Joe Deluxe figures today, and specifically for Team Cobra. Each presenter has chosen a figure they would like to see as a deluxe figure. They've given them a backstory, they will describe how they will expect them to be designed, highlight any cool features, and have even itemized their entire accessory loadout. Now, we are only talking figures that get more accessories in fancy boxes, like the first Snake Eyes, Snake Supreme Cobra Commander, Master of Disguise Zartan, Dr. Mindbender, etc. We are not talking figures with animal companions or vehicles, but expect those discussions in the future. Okay then, let's get stuck in first with Justin. Choice. Now, take us through, Justin, your Cobra deluxe figure, please.
So I kind of went through a couple of different options in my head. You know, I just recently got Dr. Mindbender, so I kind of was fresh off a deluxe figure, and that did sort of inspire me a little bit with the choice I made. And what I landed on was actually Overkill, the Bat Commander, and there is a little bit of a backstory behind this.
Dr. Mindbender's attempts at digitizing a human mind has borne unexpected fruit. Overkill, a sentient cyborg who has taken command of the battle android troopers. Frustrated by the lack of success from his android core, Overkill has sequestered himself away in a secret, abandoned Cobra facility, determined to improve himself and his android troopers by any means necessary. Utilizing salvaged bat parts and advanced computational AI, Overkill has set up a wide array of robotic traps along the perimeter of the facility, buying him some much-needed solitude to work through his technical upgrades and enhancements.
And so Overkill was kind of a tough one for me to choose because, I mean, I like the original figure very much. He's very kind of unique. I really love that he's got sort of that Buttons McBoom Boom-esque sort of channel, you know, chest panel flip with the machine guns that fold down. I love that. They did that, you know, that was a really unique functionality. But that being said, I kind of, from a design perspective, I almost prefer the Spy Troops version of Overkill, but I know with, you know, Hasbro's been sticking pretty strictly with the 80s and the 90s so far, so we'd want to stick with that. We've got to do this version first. And so basically he would be based on the original Talking Battle Commander with the, you know, the gold head, the bright green chest, as I mentioned, that panel that unfolds with machine guns that kind of swivel down. Very cool cybernetic parts. I could imagine, you know, modern sculptors really having a field day with kind of all that interlaced metal on his arms and stuff.
Absolutely.
He would also come with, you know, a wide array of his mechanical arm upgrades. Ooh. Obviously, he'd have the same stuff that he came with the Talking Battle Commander, you know, that funky claw and welding laser thing, whatever that is.
It looks like a mistake, doesn't it, that weapon?
It almost looks like they took two things and kind of crammed them together and not exactly, unless like the claw almost looks like it go maybe around a bat neck and then the welding thing in the forehead or something, like maybe a repair tool or something.
I've never even thought of that before. I want to do that now. I want to try it out.
Yeah. They could do some crazy stuff. I mean, use that for inspiration, but really kind of ramp it up.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I would picture him kind of coming maybe with a small weapons rack, like a real teched out rack that could hold the various different, you know, attachments. And of course, you know, he wouldn't just come with his own attachments. He would come with attachments that could be compatible with his bat minions. And how that works, I'm still kind of thinking that out, whether they adjust his color palette slightly so the silver works with the silver, or maybe the attachments are silver. I don't know exactly how that would work with his gold versus the original bat silver. But I would picture him coming with like a minigun with an ammo belt, perhaps a rocket launcher, a sword that is kind of the sword that the bats came with in the New Sculpt era. They had that really cool long single bladed sword. Maybe a double barrel shotgun. I was thinking a little mace with a chain. You know, you could hook like the base into his arm, and it would have like a real metal chain with a thick spiked ball on the end. Maybe a shield of some kind. I just think they could really go crazy as long as they kind of took the shackles off a little bit. That was something that I was hoping they might do with the regular classified bat. But then they kind of, you know, fell back into, well, it's got to look just like the vintage stuff. And although Lenny has mentioned that, I think that with future bat iterations, they're hoping to kind of do some new and interesting things with the attachments. I think I remember him saying that somewhere along the line. So this might be an opportunity for them to do that. And then also I thought kind of a neat twist, he could also come with replacement things for his chest as well. Like you could unplug his little flip down gun and you could put other things there. I don't know what, it'd have to be some really weird stuff that'd be small enough to kind of fit underneath his folding panel. But I just think there's a lot of potential for some really cool customization. Really, I mean, you could get crazy with it. You know, it's not too crazy. It's a deluxe figure. It's not like a huge set or anything. But I was thinking, you know, some bats that even have more swappable parts might be cool, like swappable legs. You could swap out the lower halves of the legs, put like tank treads on them or something. I don't know. That's getting a little crazy.
That's probably amazing.
Out of scope for this particular set. But I just think there's a lot of potential for cool stuff they could do. And I think by putting Overkill here and starting to build out the bats a little bit, it adds some different levels of customization that collectors could get into. And, you know, it might be a good selling point for people to buy multiple of these, even though Overkill is just essentially a single character, buying all these different additional weapons that you could outfit all your various bat troopers with could kind of help sell some additional units, you know. So I think it's
give me the Modulok of G.I. Joe Classified.
There you go.
Cool, man. I love that idea, Justin. I think that's a wicked figure to go with. I love all the accessory kind of ideas. I would even throw in maybe some damaged parts for him.
Oh, for sure.
For like an alternate damaged Overkill head, so that you could kind of like keep a little bit of his character as well as having all those other extra bits, you know.
It'd be neat too if, I don't know if they could if they could like put a sound chip like in the figure itself, so you didn't have to have that huge backpack, and you could push a button and you could say his little talking Battle Commander phrases.
Do you know what? That would make it a really cool added, like, you know how Zartan has his you know, his color change feature? Yeah. That could just be a feature they throw in just for overkill, couldn't
right.
they? Easy.
Sure. As long as they didn't like limit his articulation or anything with that. Although I think they'd have to remove his probably chest cut anyway, because they'd have that folding panel or whatever. But
yeah.
So maybe that would give them opportunity to work it in somewhere in there.
That's cool, man. I like that. Do you like that, Pat?
I do. I'm a big fan of Overkill. He's easily my favorite one of those talking battle commanders. He's the cool one. I mean, Justin is hitting upon a lot of stuff I like, because here I have a lot of toys next to me, and of course, one of them is Buttons McBoom Boom.
Love it. Awesome.
I kind of see how it works for this figure. It's a lot larger than Overkill,
yeah.
But yeah, he actually has a couple of guns that come down for this one.
Brilliant.
So I really like the idea. I really like your idea of having swappable weapons on the inside of the chest.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I don't know if they could do them almost the same size as the peg hole that goes into the arm, if that would be possible.
100%.
Obviously, the ones on the arm would be too big.
You
kind of fit in there.
You could have bat claws just kind of pop out like that. That's going to be clipped up.
I really like this idea. I think it's a good one. I also think that maybe you could even include, it's a deluxe figure, you might even be able to include some accessories that would bulk him out, that would be removable, that would be a callback to that original. Well, maybe it wasn't the original episode. I can't remember when he first appeared in the Deke cartoon, or maybe it was the first one. I kind of watched them out of order as they aired when one around to catch them. But he was called the Eliminator, and he had like, he was bigger and a little bit bulkier, but really it was just added details to the same character model. So we could even do something like that. There's a lot they could do with Overkill.
Definitely.
Yeah, big time. Something else you could do, we've got to talk about as well, Justin, before we move on, is your choice of packaging. How would you package this bad boy? Because I'm thinking like industrial. I'm not sure how you went along with it.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be sort of technical and industrial, you know, without, I could see it being similar to Dr. Mindbender's, only not an exact duplicate, obviously. More computerized texture, maybe. But that seems, I really love that slipcase format. So I could see like a top level slipcase that was kind of technical in nature, and then that fold out thing. You know, and then the figure, of course, would be right in the middle, with maybe they could take some of the distinct design elements from behind the bat panels and kind of etch that in the packaging to tie him into the bats. And then, of course, have his different attachments, you know, embedded in the package on each side.
Do you know how I see it? Like, again, this is your choice, obviously, but like, well, I kind of see Overkill almost like raised up on like some sort of like, you know how you, what's that Ghost in the Shell, where in the you know, you've got all the pipes running into her, and she's kind of like all big, basically being built effectively, similar way. They would just be kind of building Overkill, and that's what you get in the middle, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, because that's kind of how he appeared in Sigma 6, and I was trying to avoid my Sigma 6 adoration here, but I will gladly lean into that. But yeah, that's very cool. Some of Overkill's kind of appearances in Sigma 6, he had all those pipes kind of connected to him, was kind of hovering in that tank, and yeah, like you said, in the middle of being built. I love that idea. And yeah, even if depending on the level of customizability they get into Overkill, even if it was just like the top half of his torso in one section, and just so it looks like he's under construction, that would be really, really cool.
You're right. Sorry, go on, Pat.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even if they couldn't like take the bottom part away, you could have it exposing the top and covering the bottom that you see, you know, like the similar thing, like it's holding him up. Yeah, that'd be so cool, wouldn't it?
That's a great call. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that would be cool. One of the things I've mentioned many times throughout various discussions and online discussions is that I think that it would be cool to have bats be able to break down even more. Because if you can take the figure apart, like that's one of the things I liked about that Sigma 6 design, is if the more parts you can take off the figure, the more options there are to look like it's battle damaged later on. And I always kind of thought that the G.I. Joe should do a build-a-figure thing with bats, because if you get a few extra bat pieces, that really isn't a problem.
Right.
So if they were to construct overkill such that he breaks down, similar to the Sigma 6 figure, you know, I don't necessarily think that it would be something that would have to be a build-a-figure, but it would leave that doorway open to it being compatible with new styles of bats, or to have new legs or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, taking like Overkill's arms off and putting bat arms on him, or, you know, mixing and matching. Yeah, there's all sorts of potential. And you could really go crazy with kind of a really, you know, shoulder to wrist kind of big weapon that, you know, you can't really do as a forearm attachment, but would work as like a full arm attachment. You know, that sort of thing would be really awesome.
Yeah, which the direct-to-consumer set, I believe, had, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I think in my head, I see like some sort of bat factory. And kind of like a droid factory, but like bats. Yep. And like that mix and match kind of thing would be so fun and cool. And at classified scale, like, could be phenomenal. Especially if you're like, you know, getting a regular bat, and now he can have all these other crazy things attached to him that, you know, it just kind of increases the playability of that previous figure you had. Now, the Crimson Bat, for example, when that comes out, that might be able, they could like have crimson parts, and they could have silver parts, they could have black parts, so they all work well with each, you know, battle android trooper that's out there. Very, very cool, Justin. I love that as a choice. 5 gold stars for General's Joe's. 5 stars for General's Joe's. Right then, let's move on to Pat's choice. Pat, take us through, bud, your classified deluxe Cobra character, please.
Well, I hope Justin doesn't feel like I stepped on his toes in this one, because I actually
did
have the advantage. No, I didn't. It was meant to be complimentary, and not just complimentary as in Justin has a good idea. I think I'm giving him a compliment, but, you know, to go hand in hand with, because one of the things that I think is really important whenever I'm thinking these things through is, does that figure need to be, like, to do the figure well, does it need to be a deluxe, or can you get away with it just kind of being a standard figure? And yeah, some of these, I think that they're just ones that I would rather have as a deluxe. So
yeah, sometimes the accessories kind of make the figure, don't they, a little
exactly.
bit? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of need to have them in order to make the figure really good. And Overkill, I think, is one of those that you'd be much better as a deluxe. And this one, I wonder how many people are not going to even be aware of this character. Started off in a card game, and it was continued by the G.I. Joe Club. We have Deluxe Hotwire.
Dr. Mindbender has successfully done the impossible, creating Cobra's new Emperor Serpentor from the recombinant DNA of history's fallen leaders. As Mindbender parlays this success into his new evolution program, funding is pulled from rival Cobra scientists. Now, none of those brilliant but morally bankrupt minds are more motivated than that of Hotwire. Seeking to usurp Dr. Mindbender as Cobra's preeminent technologist, he sets out to develop a new series of battle android troopers.
Yeah, so I think I've kind of cheated, just to admit that in advance. I did look at what Justin had, and I thought, well, anything that doesn't go in the pack with Overkill, I think maybe could go in the pack with Hotwire, since he's working on bats, and I think that it would be something that would be just really cool with a bat collection. The other way that I know that I cheated is that I've included probably too many accessories here, knowing that somebody up above me would look at that and just go, we're going to cut that, we're going to cut that, we're going to cut that, cost this much stuff out. And then I have leftover stuff that I like anyway. So that's really what my approach is here.
By the end of it, Pat, by the end of it, you have a standard $24.99 figure that goes in the main line.
I hope not. So yeah, but one of the other things that I was trying to think of whenever I was thinking of Hotwire is that we already have Dr. Mindbender coming.
Yeah.
And he's in his classic look, but Dr. Mindbender, starting with the Devil's Due era and going into Valor versus Venom, had that other lab coat look that people really took to. And I think that it's a good look for Dr. Mindbender. I don't think it's as iconic because it's not as specific to him, but it is something that I think that the 6-inch line should eventually get out.
Yeah.
And so I think Hotwire should try to veer away from that. The club kind of did veer a little bit away from that since they have him with like a white shirt and an open jacket rather than the standard mad scientist kind of looking coat. So I have some ideas in here of things that I think would be good to go with, but are not necessarily set, you know. Essentially what I would do is I would take this idea and hand it off to an actual designer and see what they come up with so that I can enjoy being amazed. But one of the things that I think of whenever I see Hotwire, there's an actor that it looks like to me. Michael Wincott.
Oh, okay. There we go. Right? Yep. Michael Wincott.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I get that big time.
Anyway, not too important, but I've always, that's who he looks like to me in the picture of him. Not to insult Michael Wincott, but I don't know why, like, that grittiness of Guy of Gisborne is what I get whenever you take the Blanca head.
I was just going to say, I always just think he looks like Blanca.
Right. Obviously, he looks like Hotwire, looks like Blanca. But I'm getting a little bit of a, like, in order to translate that in my mind into a more human, not Hulk form... I'm getting Michael Wincott in a scientist outfit, and I probably would want his lab coat to be more of a gray, like a light gray, in order to immediately separate it from Dr. Mindbender, if that Dr. Mindbender version were to ever be released.
Yeah.
And the other character that I really heavily see him resembling is Rotwang from Metropolis, probably would lean into that for him, because it actually kind of makes a lot of sense, since Rotwang was working on a robotic form of Maria in that movie, that he would be similar. And I think a few of those call-outs to older Hollywood are a good idea. Obviously, there's a lot of Dr. Frankenstein that has been seen in Dr. Mindbender. And if you went back and picked another one, Rotwang actually predates Dr. Frankenstein. So I think there's a bit of Rotwang in Frankenstein.
There's a bit of Rotwang in all of us, I would say.
Right.
A doctor needs to take a look at that. I think.
Hopefully not.
I had Rotwang once back in the day. Yeah. Carry on.
I knew that. I was waiting for you
little
to make
penicillin that joke. Took care of it right away, Chris. Huh?
I knew as I typed what Rotwang to you, whenever we were sending off these ideas, that I was like, hang on, how is he not like saying that in the message back to me?
Yeah. I held back because I knew we were going to be recording it. It'd be funnier in person.
He was saving it all for now.
Yeah. I feel like I got a bit of Rotwang now, actually. Carry on. Sorry.
Anyway, Rotwang always had that super dramatic hand pose, and this is probably one of the accessories that can be dropped, but I need him to be able to hold an accessory. But I also love the idea of him having that very crazy mad scientist look at me kind of thing going on.
Cobra Command Snake Supreme comes with an open hand in a similar way to hold the globe. So I don't think they would have an issue with doing like a specific kind of, you know, molded hand.
Yeah.
Kind
and
of
they scenario. Did it doing it with Sergeant Slaughter too. He's coming with a bunch of different hands. So.
And Snake Eyes had that throwing star. The first Snake Eyes had that other hand.
Yep.
So isn't that big of a deal? Just... the number of accessories that I listed probably is a big deal.
That's costed. Sorry, maybe costed that one out. Carry on. Next.
Yeah, and I was thinking that maybe since he's working on mechanical stuff more than biological stuff, that he should kind of have something that looks a little bit like a blacksmith. But there being almost a scary crossover there of, you know, does he look like a butcher or a blacksmith?
Yeah, it's a little bit hostile, isn't it, as well? I like that idea.
It's a great idea.
I don't want to veer too far into the horror thing, but
I'm thinking instead of blood, it would just be like hydraulic fluid and oil and
he's
stuff.
He's got a buzzsaw like carving up a bat and spraying fluid everywhere, kind of. Yeah,
exactly. I love it. Yeah. I essentially one of the thoughts that I had is that Cobra, prior to Dr. Mindbender being released as a figure, Cobra was always kidnapping scientists in the cartoon.
Constantly.
Or they had to find somebody that they had to threaten to make this thing. And eventually, you just had Dr. Mindbender, who's at Cobra, and is just credited for everything. And prior to him, there was Dr. Venom in the comics. I think Larry Hama identified pretty early on that he needed to have a scientist Cobra on a regular basis.
Yeah, they couldn't just keep stealing them. It was getting untenable. Yeah.
But one of the things that I like to think about is the fact that Cobra probably wouldn't have just one scientist that does literally everything. No. But that Dr. Mindbender should remain the prominent one at all times. So yeah. that was kind of went into my backstory. And I think that it makes a lot of sense, because since Hotwire does exist in the G.I. Joe mythos already, I think that he kind of fits in as a scientist who may be a rival that just is never doing quite as well.
I like that. I do like that. That's a great, yeah. I'm agreed with Justin on that one.
Okay,
all right, so, accessories, buddy. Take us through, because this is my favorite part of this with your particular choice, because there's so many good accessories that you chose.
My accessories that I'm picking, and there's also a little bit of curbing costs or potential to figure out the cost here, is I think that we need a brainwave scanner. We're way overdue for that. The brainwave scanner, people associate with Dr. Mindbender, but it was a Dr. Venom thing.
I was going to say, I think most would go Venom, wouldn't they? In terms
of, do you think so?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it was, yeah, I feel in terms of who created it, Venom, but who uses it most has got to be Dr. Mindbender, because Venom wasn't around long enough.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure how many people these days still remember it, but when Dr. Mindbender first appeared, they call him Dr. Brainwave. There was that little mistake in the comics that lasted a short time, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is true. But I just think that we need a brainwave scanner.
Yes.
I think that would be a good deluxe accessory. Just, I mean, I think they considered putting a throne with Cobra Commander, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And they decided against that. I would agree with you actually, Pat. You could always, just even though it is associated with Dr. Venom, you could always bring, you know, make a much bigger brainwave scanner, have some of it come with Hotwire, and then the rest of it come, you know, and not in a way that looks like this is unfinished, but another piece comes later that creates something even cooler with, say, Dr. Venom or another Dr. Mindbender, who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, because you could have just somebody come with a table to work on stuff.
Yeah,
and then the table have spots to attach things, and then have the actual restraints and head thing come with somebody else.
Yep.
That is something that you could do. And the brainwave scanner appears to several different ways in the original comic book, but essentially it's usually like a chair thing or a table thing.
All
and
that,
so
that
I think
weird...
that whichever one they could fit in would be good.
Or that weird thing that makes you look like you're folding the opposite direction, like Snake Eyes, where he's kind of like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like that on it.
Yeah, I guess that one I associate as being one of the table things.
Yeah.
But it's not really. I guess you're right.
It's like a wall table.
Kind of being contorted.
It's like a chair, but he's just been put on it wrong. He's just been put on it the back way rather than the front way. Anyway, yeah, carry on. Sorry.
So the other accessories, I think that he should come with some old welding goggles.
Yes.
To fit the appearance, I think, in the original card art, the trading card, or game card, I should say. Collectible card game. An alternate gripping hand, I already mentioned that. A mad scientist Jacob's ladder back.
Oh, genius.
Those things that go bzzz, bzzz. That's what I'm talking about.
That's awesome.
Genius. But turn that into a backpack, because then it could also be a set piece as long as the bottom of it is flat.
That is honestly, that is the best idea you've ever come up with. Ever.
That's pretty great.
In your entire life.
My entire life. It all comes to this.
Absolutely. That's it. Because you're right. It's like, it's made. Like, that is something you'd expect to have been done back in the day if they were to have done this figure in the vintage run. You know, the kind of design heads on that would have been like, yeah, let's have it so they have the, you know, the two prongs and like a little bit of like fake electricity even going through them.
Yeah.
Be so amazing. And then you could, like you say, it's a backpack, but then you take it off, put it down, and you've got a Jacob's ladder mad scientist thing in the
That's
brilliant.
It being an electrical thing, I see it as powering one of his accessories.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, the backpack connects via a wire, and I'm tempted to just say hose, but I think that's the 3¾-inch collector in me, because they could actually make a cool-looking wire.
Yeah.
That would connect to his gun, but his gun, in my mind, should be a bat attachment, like tester.
Yeah.
A bat attachment tester. So you could attach, you know, if you wanted to, the arm onto this gun thing, so that he can have a gun that is just a hand doing crazy things, or he could have, you
he
know,
to reach anything up on a high shelf, he can.
He just lost a lot of cool points for using a bat hand on his tester just to reach something up really high. That's brilliant, though. That is absolutely genius. I love it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fun. It's something people probably would do as soon as they got the figure, just to have fun with it. And that's great. Like, the idea that I had was just an accessory for the guy who's the bat mechanic. He should just come with something that the bat's hands should clip into. And I did also include in the look of him the idea that maybe his right hand would be covered in a glove, because that's another thing that why Rotwang made sense as inspiration for him, is that Rotwang's right hand has a glove, but the left hand does not in the movie. And I think people debate whether or not, it's been a long time since I've seen the movie, I think people debate whether or not it's supposed to be a robotic hand. So
major blood vibes.
Have a bit of story there, whether or not the arm of Hotwire actually is a bat arm, or what may be going on there.
I will say, if you
put that into the figure,
if you do have Rotwang and Major Blood, go to the doctor immediately and not Mindbender. Carry on. I got Major Blood from my Rotwang. Sorry, carry on.
So if I'm going to have all these, if I'm going to have an accessory that accepts bat attachments, then that means that a Hotwire can come with bat attachments, which would give you another reason to buy him, because that would enhance your bats and maybe your overkill that Justin already mentioned. So,
but you've added loads of different bat attachments, Pat, haven't you? Pat attachments.
I basically just listed out all the other attachments, because like I said, they're just going to get costed out. I know that.
But even...
Shoot for the moon.
Even B-A-A-T, which is
yes.
Making me go crazy right now. I love the thought of that.
A what?
B-A-A-T.
Oh.
A bat.
You said B-A from the A-team. Did I include him here? Because I have a tendency to do that.
I completely misunderstood Pat's information when I was putting it into the visuals. I thought, yeah, that'd be great. I have a BA from the A-team attachment that goes in there. What? Just put loads of jewelry.
The Hotwire wearing the denim like overalls and...
Yeah, well, I did have some thoughts going into the possibility that we wouldn't ever get a Star Brigade bat. And the other half of this is, my thought is, if it looks like he's working on the BAAT, and the head is included, and maybe a backpack or some other pieces are included, it may open the option of doing that later, because some of the parts would already exist, or maybe that would just satisfy people's desire for a space bat without actually having to make that as a separate figure.
Totally.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
That's fun, man. I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
And then, of course, some damage stuff, because you want to have him actually able to look like he's working on bats. So I thought a really neat idea would be, I know in the comics sometimes they showed the bat like it looked like the skeletal version.
Yeah, like
of a bat.
Terminator or something, like an exoskeleton.
Right.
Yeah.
And whenever the bat is damaged, anytime we've seen a damaged bat, you can see where. You can almost see that underneath the helmet. So my thought was that helmet that fits on that skeletal bat head underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And
brilliant.
You know, that those could both be some things, and then maybe another battle damaged head.
Love it, man.
Cool.
And then the other standard accessories are being a cryo freeze so, gun.
I just realized how many accessories you made me put into visual
right. I did.
Reality. Incredible stuff.
Cryo freeze gun, a circular saw, a drill, and I don't mean like just a standard drill. I mean like a big, like, one of the ones that comes on Devastator's hand.
Nice, yeah.
That's that very big, like, earth borer kind of style drill. And then a jackhammer. I was going with also a knife, like, overkill version 2, and a gun, like, overkill version 2, because when I was looking, again, this is me cheating, I was looking what Justin had. I was like, those would really complement Justin's set pretty well, and he didn't list those out, so I'll just list them in here. That way, you know, people would need to get Hotwire to supplement what Justin had.
Oh, yeah. It's a great idea.
Just copy. He's just looking at your homework. It's everything. He was looking at your homework the whole time, Justin.
I was.
It's all good.
No, I think that's...
He made it better, so no problem.
So many PAT attachments. PAT, that's what I'm going to call them from now on. PATL Android Troopers. Patrick Android Trooper. Anyway, really good. I love that one, that dude. That is really awesome. A couple of things I wanted to say about it. Was in terms of other accessories, would you not throw in more laboratory things, like, you know, test tubes and things like that, or do you think that's more the biological side?
Well, you know, I thought that would be a good idea, but I thought those would be the first things chopped. Maybe one, like, solid rack of tubes and things. Like, I did take a look at the clip of when I was looking up Rotwang, just to refresh my memory, there's a really good clip on YouTube of him awakening Maria for the first time. And it's just a really good classic movie moment with a lot of things moving and, like, just, you know, movie magic, kind of mad scientist stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, if you could put some of those set dressing kind of things in there, that'd be great.
I also...
And if you could go with the table version of the brainwave scanner, that'd be even better, because that would give you something to put them on and adapt it from being a brainwave scanner.
Agreed.
Just a word of advice to anybody who might be Googling Rotwang, put your safe search filter on when you do that.
One word as well.
Just one word.
Yeah, don't separate them. Otherwise, you will get some hideous pictures that I've put on the internet myself and SEO.
That you put on the internet yourself?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Tagged it so that they hit the top search.
You got the SEO going on those search engine optimization. Right to the top page.
SEO Viper is what my my choice is. No, one other thing I will say, Pat, I would love... garage, like a car workshop, where they take, like, the engine out of a car, but they have to use one of those, like, big old things, right?
Like a cherry picker.
Yes. Yeah, but, like, if you have, like, a little kind of scaffold, basically, with, like, wires that came down that connected to, like, a half-torsoed bat.
Again, it's Sigma 6 overkill.
Exactly. But if it was like and it was just hanging there, like, on a, you know, like almost like it could be like a sculpted piece. Like, it doesn't have to be like something that is a figure, but it could just be like the torso, one arm, a damaged head, and like some bits coming out of the waist.
Okay.
And just hanging.
Or you could just have like a frame there and the ability to put a bunch of the arm attachments up into it.
That'd be so cool, wouldn't it?
Have those to work on.
Anything where you've got like a rack where we could be working on the bats or parts of the bats. And they'd be wicked. So
I just think that this, the general idea was a, like, here's a basic starting point. And I would love to see a designer run with it, because there's a lot that you could do with a guy who supplements and repairs the bats. Like, a lot of pieces that you could include for other figures while making him cooler for having them.
Absolutely. Well, the whole,
there is a lot you could do.
The whole themed idea is very cool, too, because you could even do, like you said, the rack or something, and then have it be very unique in kind of its technical sculpting and kibble or whatever that's on it. And then the weapons rack that comes with overkill could have a lot of those same elements, so they could actually kind of work together or apart, so it can kind of build out an even larger set as you buy more of these deluxe figures and kind of make this little miniature bat factory. I mean, that's could be a neat idea.
I also had it in my head that my story point was going to wedge right before Justin's, where Rotwang's developing this new bat idea, but Dr. Mindbender kind of beats him to the punch with overkill.
Nice. That's a cool idea. I like it.
Kind of what I was thinking.
Brilliant. Well, I love that you kind of, like, synergy. I love that you kind of locked in on those. Basically, scissored. That's gross.
That was bad.
But Now we've got Rotwang. Thanks, Justin. One, before we move on to mine, though, Pat, I want to hear about your ideas for packaging. Are we talking like taking the theme of that kind of like old school movie magic, the kind of, you know, the sepia tone? Is that what you're kind of looking at with this? Because I'm thinking, I would imagine laboratory. But garage laboratory.
Yeah, I didn't even say anything. Yeah, I guess I kept on thinking, when Justin was mentioning his, I kept on imagining like the preview for Terminator 2, where it's those two things that stamp the thing together. That's not exactly how bats would be made anyway. But yeah, I don't know, like something that just kind of fits the theme. In some ways, I would want it to just, since I'm supplementing what Justin had anyway, kind of go together. Like it would be neat to have these things released not long after each other, because you kind of have Serpentor and Dr. Mindbender are themed mm-hmm. to go together. You could have Overkill and Hotwire.
Definitely.
Kind of going hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And maybe you could even lean into the Brainwave Scanner. Like if the Brainwave Scanner is a table, I would kind of maybe like it to open up similar to Supreme Snake Cobra Commander. I do like that design of the box that opens up and the figure that almost lifts out at you. And if there's a table, that would be cool. Or I don't know if it's the seated Brainwave Scanner, almost to have the chair in there. And
yeah, it would be kind of to kind of copy that idea a little bit, was if Overkill came with the table and it was positioned behind him, so you do that and it kind of rises out, it looks like he's on the table kind of being built, yeah, or something. Mm-hmm. Whether it's cool idea.
Yeah, I like that. Or you could do it so it opens up and there's a picture of my Rotwang that comes out anyway.
That too.
In sepia tone, just so you don't throw up with all the horrible colors. No, that is brilliant, Pat. I really like both of those are great ideas. And I'm gonna move on to mine now. And so this was an interesting one, because I spoke to you guys about this beforehand, obviously. And then last night, the night before we recorded, I'm like, yeah, I'm having after doing all the visual work, by the way, all the graphics for this, my choice. Now, I originally chose Big Boa. I had a whole story lined up. I'm kidding, I'm not going to break there and do that. It's not worth doing it. Had a whole story lined up where he was like, that they were, Cobra were looking for a new trainer because their standards had dropped, and Cobra Commander sends Baroness out to basically find the best person for the job. She eventually goes through loads of applicants, and then Big Boa's left, and you know, that was the story. And I thought, that was kind of fun. And then you could just throw in tons of gym equipment, and it would just be like a weights bench with the barbells and the dumbbells and the racks and, you know, pugil sticks, but two of them, reds and blues, kind of like gladiator style, Pat. You know, the headgear as well, two different, again, red and blue, for like, you know, so you could see like a team emerging kind of thing. And also to go with the color scheme of Big Boa too. So the punch bag. So you'd have this whole like load of gear and gym gear. And I thought, yeah, that's really awesome, really awesome. And then I spoke to Kate about doing this monthly, and Kate says, oh, you should do Pythona. And I was like, oh, you're right. You're so 100% right. Because we've been talking about this for ages, and Pythona was that. When I messaged you guys last night, I said, okay, guys, Big Boa or Pythona, who should I go with? And both of you were like, well, Pythona is my personal choice. So, yeah. And I know you were being nice because you knew I'd put so much work into the Big Boa one, but I was kind of like, you know what? Yeah, it's going to be Pythona. And one of the reasons was I wanted, you know, it's obviously important to have female representation. And when we're doing these kind of episodes, you kind of forget sometimes that, you know, we just got picking whatever we want, and whatever we want is necessarily like covering. But Python is one of those figures that I absolutely 100% want with all my heart. And I thought, you know what, let's just do it. Now, I went with a kind of similar backstory to what we know from Pythona. Deep in the unknown reaches of the Himalayas live a people who once ruled the earth, Cobra Lar. When humans began to develop into more intelligent beings, they retreated to a hidden and hostile place in order to regroup and plan an eventual takeover of their once all-encompassing empire. Part of that plan was implanting a device in the head of Dr. Mindbender, inspiring him to create Cobra's new leader, Serpentor. Now Pythona has been tasked with infiltrating the Terradrome that Serpentor is currently occupying, to inform him of his destiny.
We know everything.
So basically sticking very close to what we know, Pythona, with Cobra Lar, all that kind of good stuff. And I thought, well, with this particular figure, you could go to town on the accessories. Like, there are so many that you could include in here. And first of all, in terms of design first, we'll start with that. I'd stick very close to the modern 4-inch release because, for one reason, that was one of the greatest figures ever made in the G.I. Joe line. There's obviously some improvements that could be made, but not many. You're talking about maybe like the torso being a bit smoother, couldn't you? Or like maybe if they'd have kind of incorporated the design of her like weird costume and made it more of a sculpted kind of thing. And I think that's what you'd need with a classified figure. You'd need that to be like super, like really sculpted, all those like circular pieces, and it would be amazing. I would suggest as well, just as the 4-inch figure did, a removable hairpiece, because I think that would then, rather than having to do multiple heads, you could still do alternate heads, but you could just have the same hairpiece that plugs into each one. Do you know what I mean? So rather than multiple of the same thing, it just makes more sense to do that. I was also going to go with a soft goods cape, but then with a separate hood, kind of like how Storm Shadow has that kind of like hard hood bit on the top. I would make like a hard version of that, so you could really get the sculpt right and the shape right and get it to sit on their head properly with maybe like a neck piece, much of the same way they do with the Storm Shadow figure. And then the kind of soft goods cape would kind of come like underneath that, but like almost maybe be connected to the neck piece. I don't know how that would work engineering wise, but something along those lines where it could be kind of like two pieces basically. And you could be in, you could get into a bit of trouble there with the textures not looking perfectly like the same, but I think you could do it in a way that would look good. And you could even maybe design it so that it's a little bit more to it rather than just a black piece of cloth, like more kind of textures, more bits and pieces here and there. So I think that would be awesome. And yeah, very obviously, I'm thinking very detailed in terms of the kind of design space there. But like, I could just imagine her head sculpt being just phenomenal. The makeup, maybe slightly bigger reptilian like eyes as well. I know how the figure, the 4-inch figure, doesn't necessarily have exaggerated eyes, does it? It has the reptile kind of slit kind of eyes, but it doesn't have, like slightly bigger. Do you know what I mean? I think that would be kind of cool and would make her look really dope. So in terms of like accessories, I would definitely, like I said, multiple heads with that removable hairpiece. So you could have different expressions, because there's one bit when she's fighting Jinx in the movie and she goes evil. Like, almost like fangs come out, don't they, when they're fighting. So I think that would be pretty awesome. On top of that, multiple hands. And obviously I would expect some of the hands to have like that extended nails, so that she could do the cut through the steel. Maybe even do it so there's a little bit of like drip coming off some of them, with the kind of, you could go to town with the detail on that, I think. And then it's just like just a crazy array of biological weapons. It's the squidgy starfish face hugger, the four-headed electricity snake, the tapeworm clam, the pufferfish grenades, the sticky clam with BET model inside. And then, so all of those things that she uses to infiltrate, because obviously that's the big aspect of the story for my classified Pythona. It's really focusing on her infiltrating the Terradrome, getting in there to try and get to Serpentor, who, we know is, in the classified line, so we can kind of tie it all in nicely. And it's all about that moment when she gets to, bust through, take everyone out and get in there. So I think all those accessories would be absolutely awesome. Now, obviously, I also think you could give her the gem that she gives to Zartan. because it would answer all of our questions, would it not, guys? A gem of that size?
It would. See? Answers all of our questions.
I'm going to put a weird pink glow on the screen when that happens. I'm not. I can't be bothered to do that. That's far too much work. But yeah, all those kind of accessories I think would be absolutely fantastic. This is another thing I was thinking, well, Kate and I were discussing actually beforehand. I've got to give Kate a lot of props for this because she was saying, and you could give her this and this and this and this. You know, it writes itself, the Pythona figure. But then I think you could also do something, and this would kind of push her more into the vehicle side, you know, figure and vehicle side. And I'll tell you what I've come as a compromise. But you know that giant-like eyeball thing that she floats around, she comes out of the lake in and it just dissolves and she's there? That could be her vehicle. Like, she could come with that if it was a figure vehicle set. Now, my compromise, though, and this is Kate's idea technically, as you open the box, she is like almost coming out of that thing, like it's like melting away from her basically, and you've got this weird monster thing with a big eyeball on the top of it as well. And I just think that would be so cool. And then, like, you know, you could have like the knight, you know, like all the way around the pterodrome as the background. It would be, you know, with the fence and everything, it would be so cool, I think. Like, you could see, like, the security fence literally, like, running all the way across. You open the box open like that. Or maybe it's on the front. Maybe it's on the front and you've got, like, the pterodrome, you know, there. And as you open it up, she's there, like, about to infiltrate it. I don't know, something along those lines. Either that or you go Cobra La heavy and you go with, like, all the gross aspects of Cobra La kind of floating around. But that's mine. What do you guys think about that, Justin? What are your thoughts on Pythona?
Oh, I love it. I mean, Pythona is like one of those, you know, cornerstone characters, especially of the animated universe. Just one of those characters that did finally get a figure, you know, a few years ago for the first time in forever. And I think she's one of those unique figures that, you know, is that really is somewhat underserved even after 40 years, which you can't say that about when it comes to too many of these figures. But, and I think she's ripe for these 6-inch enhancements that you're talking about. She would be a fantastic larger scale figure with the amount of detail they could do. I'm thinking of like all the different texture work that goes into these classified figures. They could really go crazy with that on her, with some of the raised relief on her costume and love the idea of the multiple hair, multiple head sculpts and stuff. I think there's a lot of potential for a really, really cool looking figure. And Pythona is kind of one of those characters that, you know, when I was younger, I didn't like her because that sequence in the G.I. Joe, which is bizarre because the sequence of the G.I. Joe movie was one of my favorite parts of that movie. And, you know, I like my toys to mirror my media. So the fact that she wasn't a toy made me like, I hate, you know, why couldn't they have Snake Eyes do that? That'd have been so much better. But, you know, obviously over the years, I've kind of learned to appreciate her place. And I think classified line in my mind is going to be incomplete until they get Cobra La out there. So I think just having 6-inch figures of those like whacked out characters on a shelf would be so eye-catching, regardless of your feelings of Cobra La, that I just think she'd be a great one to start that with. And that in this deluxe set, I would really love that. Love to see them do that.
I want to see them do the clam with the BET model inside of it.
Oh,
that's what,
man,
I want to see.
That'd be awesome.
That's what I want to see, that awesome. in 6-inch size. Pat, what about you, mate? Are you a fan of this particular idea?
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to you having to come up with names for all those crazy accessories.
Kate and I were talking about them. I'm like, the four-headed electricity snake, and we're like, they need to make names for these things, don't they?
Yeah, ridiculous.
The squidgy face hugger, I mean, come on.
Ribbon clam or whatever.
Yeah, I call that the tapeworm clam. Yeah,
there you go.
But I like ribbon clam's a good one. I like that.
I would want the BET model to be removable though, so that you could potentially put other things in there if you want it.
Absolutely.
Like, it should definitely be like a hologram BET model.
That's a really good idea.
I like the idea. Pythona is a weird one. She, you know, her appearance in the movie in a lot of ways is strange to me, that you start the movie off featuring so heavily a figure that didn't even come out.
Yeah.
And it is very strange. I think that the two missteps of Cobra Law as a toy was the fact that Nemesis Enforcer's wings weren't really that dramatic.
Yeah.
They were just kind of very small, and Pythona wasn't released. Pythona definitely, over the years, like as soon as the internet became a thing and customizing figures, it was Pythona, Pythona, Pythona. She was one of the most commonly customized figures. And that, to me, showed that there was just a lot of people that wanted a Pythona on their shelves.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that she's a sure thing, definitely one that would be a hit. I was just pitching the idea of Cobra Law in the last monthly. So, yeah, I absolutely agree.
And I will give all of the credit to Kate because, again, I probably would have just gone with Big Boa anyway. And then when I mentioned, I was in the kitchen, I was umming and erring because I wanted to do Pythona anyway. And when I mentioned it to Kate, Kate was like, oh, you should do Pythona. I'm like, yeah, I'm in and erring between it. And then she just listed off all these amazing, she was like, and you could do this and you could do this and you could do this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do Pythona. So yeah, and then that was it last night. I'm messaging you guys going, yeah, I'm going to change it. but anyway, I still like my Big Boa idea with the gym because you end up with all these really cool like items that you could legitimately do a Dio so easily. Mm-hmm. You know, again, just you're only talking like a little rack for the dumb for like, and if you had almost like a rack for all of it, so the pugil sticks stuck in there, the barbell and the weight bench are obviously their own thing. That's kind of like a separate thing. But then the rack could have the pugil sticks with the helmets could like pop on the top of the pugil sticks, and then you could have or like the rack of dumbbells in there, and then you could have, I was thinking two large tires as well, because you could have,
great.
You know, like when they do the kind of like the kind of flips of the tires when they're really heavy ones. Either that, or you could have a, you know, the thing that Falcon does in the movie at Slaughterhouse, and he's stepping in between the tires and he's going, that. Again, clip that up. But yeah,
he's got to make that sound though. He's got to have a voice box that actually makes that noise.
I've literally cheated and I've done both of my choices in a short period of time. Anyway, Pythona is actually the one for me. So yeah, that was awesome, guys. So we've done Cobra. We've got Cobra out of the way. Next month, we're actually going to be jumping on this again and we're going to be doing our G.I. Joe versions of deluxe figures we'd love to see. And hopefully we'll have even more deluxe goodness to talk about on other things that might have happened courtesy of PalsCon. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Guys, that's awesome. But now, obviously, we've still got one last thing to discuss, and that is version therapy. Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner/developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding. Mm. Right then, continuing with our regular monthly segment now, Version Therapy, which is where we choose a single G.I. Joe or Cobra character and have a discussion on what action figure version is their best. Now, of course, we're all probably going to have different opinions on this based on when we were born, personal experience and so on, but that's where the fun lies. Feel free to let us know who your favourite action figure version is and why in the comments below as well. So who have we got next? Well, last month we looked at Cobra Commander based on his retro carded inclusion in the most recent Histank Haslab campaign, but next up, and considering we've been discussing deluxe figures, we thought we would get stuck into the Master of Disguise himself, Zartan, if you didn't know what I was talking about then. yes guys, Zartan. We've all got our favourite versions of this figure, and again, I'm really happy that we've come up with different versions again. Like, this is, it's kind of interesting when we do these version therapies, because I'm always, like, just assuming we're all going to pick the same one, and it never is the case, ever is the case. Starting, though, with you, Justin, take us through your obvious Sigma 6 one.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, every time Chris asks me to do one of these version therapies, I'm like, okay, this time I'm not going to choose Sigma 6 because I always choose Sigma 6, but sorry, I'm choosing Sigma 6.
You are totally allowed to do so. It's an absolute beauty. I mean,
when it comes to Zartan, obviously the version 1 Zartan is the penultimate version of that, or the ultimate version of that figure. I mean, that's where his design aesthetic came with. He came with the chameleon, you know, very fond memories of, you know, the color changing skin and stuff like that, but I always like to kind of go a different route, because I'm sure one of you other fine gentlemen will probably pick that one, and legitimately so. It's one of the best figures in the entire 40-year history of G.I. Joe. But for me, what I like, what I've always liked about G.I. Joe is its ability to reinvent itself.
I was going to say Sigma 6.
Well, and yeah, Sigma 6 was kind of a reinvention of itself. So I think that's part of the reason I gravitate to that line so much, because they reinvented itself from a scale perspective. Yep. They reinvented itself from a design perspective, reinvented itself from the character perspective. I mean, it was essentially a whole new brand. Yep. G.I. Joe was kind of a name it was given, but it could have existed as many other things. But the reason, and the Sigma 6 version 1 Zartan is really what I'm choosing. And there's several different reasons for that. First of all, while they did a lot of kind of vintage throwbacks with his hood and his chest armor, it was a very, very new idea. I mean, the proportions are obviously very Sigma 6 oriented, which I really enjoy. I kind of like those more outlandish proportions, you know, great articulation. What I really loved were the big, huge gauntlets on his forearm, and the fact that he came with this really cool long machine gun that could hook onto one of them, and he could use that as a weapon. Zartan is just one of those figures that Sigma 6 really did well. And I'm not going to pretend that Sigma 6 was perfect soup to nuts. They had their share of misses too. But for Zartan, they really captured the essence of that character, yet made something new, which I think is a lot harder to do than people realize. Mm. You know, finding the right classic elements, but also adding enough newness that it doesn't just feel like the same thing rehashed.
Yeah.
That's why I'm picking the Sigma 6 Zartan, because it encompasses, you know, one of my favorite aspects of G.I. Joe, and it does a really good job at it as well. So, that's my choice. Sigma 6 Zartan. Surprise, surprise.
I'm surprised you didn't go for the toxic version of him, because that is so awesome. I love the deco on that thing.
I love the toxic version. Yeah, it definitely is another great Sigma 6 figure. I like the actual water shooting gun that it comes with. I mean, there's a lot to love about the toxic version. It's probably a pretty close call, but ultimately I still think I prefer the version 1, although Toxic Zartan, it's pretty awesome. It's like an Eco Warrior Zartan in a way, you know. They did a really great job of that one too.
I kind of feel like he needs an honorable mention in this if you're talking Sigma 6, because it's just it's always the one. Whenever someone says to me Sigma 6, funnily enough, that's the character I think of. That's the figure specifically I think of. That one and the Winter Snake Eyes with the snowboard and Timber are the ones that I always go to in my head. The deco is just outstanding, and you're right. It's like an Eco Warrior Zartan, basically.
And I love that fans these days seem to really, they seem to like Sigma 6. They have a fondness for it in a way that nobody really did back in 2005 when it first came out. So I think it's really cool to hear stuff like that. Hear people actually realize that there were some merits to Sigma 6. It did some things really well, and just because something has, you know, bright green and purple doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. I think they did it was really eye-catching colors, really great deco and accessories, and I think they did an awesome job on that.
If anything, it's better when you throw those colors in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pat hates Sigma 6, so we won't ask him what he thinks. I'm just kidding, Pat. I'm just kidding. But how do you feel about the Sigma 6 Zartan?
Well, you know, like Justin said, whenever you're reinventing something, taking all of the classic parts and figuring out what is key and what you can add, sometimes in the end, what you end up doing and why I think that's really worthwhile is that sometimes you find some things that end up working so well that they become a permanently accepted part of the character.
Yep.
And for me, I actually would have, like, whenever you said, pick a Zartan, you know, what's the best one? I immediately was drawn to the one that I'm going to pick. But in my mind, then I went, wait a minute, there's actually maybe six Zartans in my mind that could potentially be the best one. And yeah, of those six, I was actually thinking Toxic Zartan.
Yeah.
And the reason why I was thinking Toxic Zartan is because the color change gimmick for the original Zartan, like what the origin of that may be, was not something that they actually got into, I don't think, in the original run of G.I. Joe at all. It just was a thing that he could do. In the comics, he could, you know, change his appearance. It was just something that he had. And there was never really a reason why. And I like to think that Toxic Zartan builds upon that in a really nice way, that maybe it's leaning a little bit into his origin, like maybe there was some toxic accident. I think that, you know, Rise of Cobra did the nanomite thing. I think that maybe the Devils Do Run did that as well. But this is just kind of a nice, you know, potentially Zartan turns blue sometimes because he was playing around with toxic stuff. You know?
He got Rotwang as well that day. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Toxic Zartan that, and I just keep on getting drawn to, like, the deco on his arms, kind of that faded flesh into green, yeah, that goes to translucent for the gauntlet and the hands. I mean, oh, it's a great figure. Now you're making me second guess my choice.
But, Zartan, wash your hands. With the obvious at all.
Yeah.
That's a great, I did not collect all of the Sigma 6 stuff. I needed to kind of scale back what I was buying at that point. So it was like no Sigma 6, but Toxic Zartan's one of the ones I bought.
Yep.
Nice.
I love all the toxic things. I like that Dr. X toxic gut figure as well from the Action Man line. I just like ridiculous, crazy, awesome features. And anyway, yeah.
That's just going to be part of the theme today is we're going to just talk about all the figures that are like right there on my shelf.
Nice.
I love
that's awesome.
I love the fact he's packaged upside down as well. I just think it's a brilliant figure in general. And it's,
yeah, I kind of want to open this one up to see if I can refill the toxic guts since they don't work anymore since there was a liquid in there.
Gross. It's probably all in the bottom of that box.
It's just kind of solidified inside.
I'll give you stuff. $10 if you eat it.
$10 is what I spent for the figure.
If he eats it, he will get Zartan's color changing skin. I guarantee it. We'll be calling him Toxic Pat from now on.
Yeah,
mate. Yeah, brilliant. Great shout on that one, and Justin. And do not worry. I know I give you a lot of stick about Sigma 6, but I love Sigma 6. I think it's a wonderful toy line. It's one of my favorite elements of G.I. Joe. It's only done just in jest, just like the 5-star.
It's all good.
but what I will say now is, Pat, what was yours then? Because I think we could probably all guess what yours is going to be.
Yeah, it's version one Zartan. Nothing can be better than that original figure that introduced us to the character and, you know, is so good that Zartan has rarely veered too far away from this design. He has in several good ways,
yeah,
but this really is Zartan.
Oh, 100%.
Whenever we come back to him.
Yes.
I can remember getting this as a kid. It was a really great moment. It was my birthday. We were having a birthday party at my grandmother's house. And maybe a couple of months before that, I had received a Kodak disc camera as some sort of gift.
Cool.
And I felt the need to be a little bit of a grown-up at that point, even though it was 1984. I think I was turning 9. And I was like, no, what I want for my birthday is a case to make sure that my disc camera stays nice. My mother knew that I wanted Zartan. And so on my birthday, she had a box where I opened up and there was a case for my disc camera. And as soon as I lifted it out, underneath was Zartan.
Oh, that's brilliant.
She filmed that. So there's like great 8mm film of me somewhere, you know, picking out the case to be like, yay. And then Zartan, and just going nuts. That's so Zartan's he's a big one of my original collection. Love that figure.
Can you send me that 8mm footage so I can...
Yeah, wherever it is, I'd love to see it myself.
Digitize it. That's wicked, man. I love it when you've got like a connection like that to something along those lines. And I feel like I have that connection to a lot of toys when I was a kid. I don't necessarily, it's something you don't really have as an adult, as an adult collector, because it's literally you're just pre-ordering and it's coming through. Yeah. And so much of it's coming that you forget that you even have some of it, or like you haven't really touched that figure, but because you've got the next new shiny thing that you want. So yeah, I love that there are those moments that connect you to certain things, and that's wicked. And obviously version one is, you're right, that's the origin of that character, and usually that is what you see all the way through going forward. But there have been some pretty wayward design changes to this character, and that's kind of where I'm gonna go with a couple of, well, I've got a few honorable mentions. I would say first, the first honorable mention is that oh god, actually there's loads, because there's a few that I actually really liked. I like the Renegades Zartan, you know, the one where he was like the light piping in the head that made his eyes glow up.
Oh really?
I quite like that one. I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, that was fantastic, yeah.
And then, like, not my favorite, but definitely one that I really enjoyed the mm-hmm. kind of the idea one. It kind of, he was a bit thinner, wasn't he? Kind of scrawny as Zartan.
I freaked out so much when he appeared in the cartoon. That was just it was crazy.
Really liked that one. But then also there's the Pursuit of Cobra, basically Raptor, but not. So it's that kind of like, yeah, the Zartan in the desert kind of thing with the bird on the stick, the kind of like the completely different, like raggedy kind of gear and everything. I really thought that was kind of cool and different as well. But the main ones I'm going to talk about, and my favorite kind of is born from both effectively, is Ninja Force Zartan. The first one is really fun, crazy, massive departure from the character. Threw him into a ninja scenario. Now, obviously in the comics, if you've been reading the comics, Zartan does have that kind of ninja background, that ninja kind of like connection where he learned to be Onohashi's sword maker in the while he was like at the same time keeping an eye on, you know, what was going on and then assassinating people and so on and so forth. We all know that kind of backstory and everything. So that connection to Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow it's not too far removed, but honestly at the time and seeing him in Ninja Force, there was like a really, it was kind of a bit crazy and a bit weird and a bit bonkers, but the design, the mohawk, the colors, the just everything about, and the artwork as well, he's really weird looking, he's like really ugly looking. Apologies to any Hasbro employees they may have utilized for the artwork on that one, but no, there's a real, like, I don't know, there's a lot of personality in that artwork as well. Kind of like a bulldog chewing a wasp is how I would describe the face. Or the funniest one, a bulldog licking off a nettle.
Good heavens.
Have you ever heard that description before? No, I didn't.
Never.
Think you would.
No. That is British only right there. Anyway, yeah, so I love that figure. I thought it was awesome. My favorite, though, and you're probably going to disagree, and that's totally cool, but my favorite Zartan figure is the one from the club that finished off, effectively, the club's involvement in G.I. Joe, where you had the final 12, you had the Tiger Force figures, and you had the female, I think the black female troopers, and you had Zartan and his motorcycle. And it was Ninja Force Zartan, and it was the motorcycle, and I just loved every second of what they did with this figure. The reuse of that head I thought was kind of inspired. It was the only one that was really available, to be honest, with the Mohawk. But I just thought it was awesome. I thought he looked incredible. It's not a direct, it's not like, you know, exactly the same as the original Ninja Force figure, but there's something about it that I just really enjoyed, really loved. And obviously the motorcycle is a lot of fun. and just bonkers. And yeah, I thought that for me is my favorite version of Zartan. Weirdly, like it would have been before that came out, Ninja Force Zartan was still my kind of favorite. And it's weird because I didn't even have Ninja Force Zartan as a kid. But because I had other Ninja Force figures, I saw that he was available on the back of that card and was like, why do I not have this figure? Where is this figure? So yeah, that's one of the reasons I was so like drawn to it, because I didn't have it but wanted it so bad. So yeah, for me it's got to be Ninja Force Zartan, specifically the Collector's Club, but you have to give props to where it originated from, and for me, yeah, it's this one for me. So what do you guys think on that?
I like it. I mean, I have such a mixed relationship with Ninja Force, because I've been about articulation. That's what drew me to G.I. Joe in the first place.
Of course.
And, you know, my first reaction to getting some of those first Ninja Force figures was like, you know, with the spring-loaded legs and stuff like that. But that being said, the design elements are fantastic. And I have an appreciation for that. I think it was Andrew Wildman who did a lot of the artwork in the, you know, for the Ninja Force stories back in the G.I. Joe Marvel comics. And I just loved how he handled Slice and Dice and all those associated characters. So I love Ninja Force as a concept. And if anything, the fact that, you know, the club version of Zartan actually has modern articulation without that, you know, spring-loaded waist or whatever is points in its favor. So I do like Ninja Force. I wish it was executed a little bit better in the 80s, and I'm all for anybody who does kind of updates to it. I think my favorite Ninja Force guy has got to be Dojo, though. I mean, I prefer Dojo. He's handsome.
Very handsome.
Handsomest Ninja Force character ever. So
he's very good.
That's my preference when it comes to Ninja Force.
I would say probably the most handsome figure in all of G.I. Joe history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
for anyone that doesn't know, we can't tell you. Pat, what about yourself, mate?
A lot of that later club stuff was doing the best that they could with what was available. And a lot of that ended up making this, to me, not the best version of Zartan.
Sure.
I really like a lot of the specifics of the original Ninja Force Zartan that were lost here. The really tall mohawk is kind of, in my opinion, needed. I liked the two removable knives that
on the
anytime
yeah,
you had
yeah.
a sheath or of any kind on in the vintage G.I. Joe line, it was awesome. And so the fact that Ninja
back blast,
on his arm, awesome. I love that thing.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah. Even like Naugahyde
on his
ankle. You know, even
ankle,
figures
yeah,
that have
yeah.
stuff that would connect, like Pathfinder has the guns that connect to his hips. That was awesome. Loved that stuff. And to see this Zartan just kind of have the one non-removable, it is a non-removable knife, right? Isn't it the
I think so.
Resolute non-removable?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's not, to me, it's just not as exciting. And I liked the chains that he had on one side of the leather jacket. There's just some details that they weren't going to be able to get in there. So when this came out, I was really happy to have it at all. But it's not the perfect modern 4-inch version of Ninja Force Zartan for me. And so for that reason, I wasn't even considering it in the top six. Because when I was thinking about the six, I would definitely say that the new color changing
Zartan
is one of the best ones.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, like the classified figures are probably, you know, ahead of it. In a sense, because you're right, like that Master of Disguise Zartan is fantastic.
Oh yeah, terrific.
Yeah, and the Resolute Zartan, the 4-inch Resolute one, I thought was a really great design where he's showing a little less of skin, and the sculpt hood was so good.
Yeah.
That
the sniper rifle he came with was really really great.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, that was a great one.
A lot of good figures out of Resolute. I like Resolute as a design kind of thing. That kind of Winter Duke was kind of cool as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think we've kind of covered all of the ones that I think were some of the best ones. And this one's a good one. It just for me it wasn't the top of the line.
Oh no, totally. I mean, like I said, all of our things are going to be different. And one of the reasons, again, I will throw in for the club. Was mainly because I remember at that time, because it wasn't that long ago, but well, actually, it kind of is a little bit of a while ago now when I think about it. I just remember that moment of being like, oh man, we're not going to get any more stuff from the club. This kind of sucks, you know, like we're not getting 300 figures a year anymore that we were getting before.
In a way, it was kind of the unofficial farewell to the 4-inch G.I. Joe. I mean, Hasbro did a little bit more after that, I think, but it was essentially, that was it.
Exactly.
And of course, you know, the retro line revisited some of it too, but you know, I think by and large, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if we'll see that sort of stuff again.
I hope we do. I think we will, but okay. Again, it's going to be time, isn't it? There's got to be a bit of time there, I think. But yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I really like it, because it's it does it kind of like highlights that end to an era, and and it was like finally we've got a Ninja Force Zartan in the modern era. And I think I just see the colors and that's enough for me. I just see the deco and I'm like, yeah, okay, there's an orange in there. It's green. Yeah, I'm in there. Purple. Got it. Right. Cool. Well, that's it. That's another massive episode somehow. We tried to keep it shorter, but no, just it's impossible. We like talking about this stuff. What can we say? We've got another one coming up next month as well, guys. So carve out some time for that. Sorry, Justin.
That's all right.
Thank you for jumping on, both of you, and basically going through all of, well, everything. We've got more little cool little deluxe things to go through next time. And then we're going to have to look at what we want to see, like, in Animal Companion figure kind of combo packs, vehicles with figures. We've got to kind of go through those as well. I'm going to make you guys work for the next 6 months, I reckon.
Beautiful. Bring it on.
And it's going to be this.
Sounds like fun.
It's going to be the same. It's going to be just us three each time. That'll be, when I say at the beginning, different co-hosts every month. It's like, that's going to have to change that. But no, it's been awesome. Thank you again, guys. And we'll see you on the next one.
Sounds good. Good talking to you guys.
Now, let us know your favorites of everything in the comments. Let us know your, what you want to see as deluxe figures. Let us know what your favorite Zartan figure is and why. Let us know in the comments. Go nuts. And we will ignore every single comment. That's a joke. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining us for the Full Force Monthly. Massive thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Patrick Stewart and Justin Bell. See you next month. And as always, 1, 2, 3,
Full Force!
I'm out of practice.
Justin's like, do I have to keep my arm? You don't have to do this. It's just, it's funny when that stuff happens. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.